Dan Hubbard, Senior Vice President of the National Business Aviation Association, the MBAA, because everybody's got to have their own little acronym, right? What is that? Is that NBAA? How are you, Dan?
I'm all right, Fred. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Sure. All right. So your group, and I'm guessing some others here. There's the Airline Pilots Association. There's the Air Transport Association, Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. There's real concern about this privatization of air traffic control systems in the U.S. And I saw this a while back, and I thought, well, this would be an interesting conversation. Because we have had some countries do it. I think Canada's privatized, right? Didn't they?
That's correct. Yes, sir, they have.
So you're in opposition to this. Well, lay it out for us and why people should care about it.
Sure. So if I can, let me just, you know, briefly unpack it with two points I'll make. You know, the first is the good news, which is I think everybody's in general agreement that today America's got the world's best aviation system. It's the largest, the safest, it's the most efficient. It's certainly the most diverse with all these different types of aircraft operating in it, more than anywhere else in the world. And we want to keep it that way. We want to modernize it, continue modernizing it so that it's the world's leader 5, 10, or 25 years from now. The second point is that it's a system that is overseen by the public's elected officials in Congress, and that's appropriate because our airports and airspace, that is a public asset. The taxpayers fund it, and so it needs to serve, you know, all of the public, all citizens, all communities, and having congressional oversight ensures that that is what happens. Now, what's troubling to us is that there's a proposal in the House of Representatives that would take Congress completely out of the equation, and it would hand over for free this taxpayer-funded asset to a small private group that would basically be an airline-centric group. Included among the representatives in this group would be the big airlines, the cargo airlines, the regional airlines, the airlines union, and one representative who would come from one of the big hub airports that serves the big airlines. So I think our concern when you put all that together is whose interest is really going to be represented here? Is the system going to continue to serve the interests of all of the public, or is it going to begin to focus more on what's in the airline's best interest? And that's the concern.
So therein lies the, I guess, the fly in the ointment, right? The fact that the big interest will, like in a lot of cases, because that was going to be my next question. Why do you think government can do this better? And you're not really arguing that. You're arguing the fact that this becomes another special interest, basically, right?
That's a very good point. You know, to your question, you know, you wonder, well, why can the government do this better? Maybe so-called privatization, you know, if something could be done better under privatization. Well, to that, you know, I think people often think of the benefits that come with privatization, right? So benefits to taxpayers, benefits in terms of efficiency or innovation or running something more like a business. And again, we should not confuse this proposal for privatization with aviation system modernization or with any of those benefits. Like I said, where's the benefit for the taxpayers? This system gets handed over for free, no bidding, no competition, to a small private group unaccountable to Congress. When it comes to innovation, if it's an airline-centric board, you know, we know, the traveling public knows that there have been some concerns about the airlines and their investments in innovative technologies. You know, over the last year, at a rate of about once a month, their IT systems have crashed and thousands of people get stranded at airports routinely. Everybody's heard about this now, and it's because of the need to invest in updating those IT systems, which they haven't done. Most folks don't know it, but they also successfully lobbied against investing in next-gen technologies that would go in their cockpits. So they are the only aviation segment that lobbied against doing this and won that provision. You know, you think about a private system maybe running more like a business, in meaning that you could more reliably, you know, balance the books. Well, you know, that concern certainly exists with these privatized systems too, perhaps most profoundly over in the UK, where they stood up that privatized system and not long thereafter, the funding wasn't right, and they had to go back to the taxpayers and ask for a taxpayer-funded bailout.
Ah.
Is that really, you know, what we're looking for here? So, you know, you can see there are a host of concerns, and it isn't just my organization that's concerned. More than 100 mayors from across the country have written Congress about it, consumer groups, congressional watchdogs, and others.
So this is, I want to get into, has it been going in Canada long enough to get into that a little bit as well?
We certainly can.
All right. We'll, his group and several others, Dan Hubbard, the Senior Vice President of the National Business Aviation Association, thinks this is basically the airlines getting an extra mulligan in this thing, I guess is the best way to say it. They're opposed to the air traffic control privatization idea. Maybe some elements. We'll talk about that coming up. Dan Hubbard is a Senior Vice President of the National Business Aviation Association, NBAA. He's opposed to this air traffic control privatization. I will give you one thing, Dan. I don't think, and you know, for deregulation purposes, some things it makes sense to deregulate, but for some odd reason, deregulation of the airline industry has made things, I think, worse, not better. Why?
Well, what you've had over the past decade or so is a lot of airline consolidation. So, you know, we're down now to, what is it, four, maybe six major airlines. And so, you know, your choices, the consumer's choices then get limited. And so, you know, it can seem to feel like, you know, you really want more choice. You want more competition in a marketplace. And I think that's a discussion that's, you know, being had, including in Washington, D.C.
So let's talk about Canada for a minute. You said in the case of the UK, where they privatized some years ago, they had to come back to the taxpayers because they needed a bailout. How long has Canada been privatized, and what have they faced so far?
Canada has been privatized about the same amount of time. It's a little over a decade, maybe 15 years at this point. And, you know, they had some of the same concern right around the terrorist attacks of 9/11. You know, after that tragic event, you just had fewer people flying. There were just fewer flights for a while. And so NAV Canada, I think, had not anticipated that you would have fewer operators in the system in terms of what they were charging for the system. So they had to make some adjustments. And again, that speaks to this concern about how is the system being funded? What's the reliability of the funding and so forth? You know, the other thing about Canada that we need to keep in mind is that they've got about 10% of the aviation traffic that we have. So I don't think, you know, we can just assume. I think it would be troubling to just you know, make the gamble that you can just scale up Canada's system to immediately graft it right onto America's system. I just don't think that's likely the case. It's not as simple as that. To look at it just one way, a lot of what Canada handles are overflights, meaning people are flying over the country. They are not taking off and landing in it, and that's where you get the diversity of operations, the kind of which we have here in the United States. So again, you know, let's not just assume that what's going to work in Canada will just inherently work right away with no disruptions in America. And if today we have the very best system and we want to make it better, well then, what is it? If there are challenges to that, then what are they? And how do we just identify the challenges and put targeted solutions and investments toward those challenges?
Are there elements you could privatize? I mean, are there bits and pieces you could, or are you for just having Congress continue to oversee the whole thing?
I think we want Congress to remain in the equation. I mean, if there is a concern, then we want for the public's elected representatives to hear that concern and be able to do something meaningful to address the concern. And that's the way it's always been. That setup is why our country continues to have the world's best aviation system. And I guess what you get down to is, what exactly is it that we're trying to fix here? This seems sometimes to be a solution, this privatization idea, a solution in search of a problem.
So to boil this down a little bit, your group mostly represents, private commercial private pilots, commercial pilots, people who maybe do charter type stuff that's outside the normal purview of or the goal of the big air transport companies and the major airlines. So your fear basically is these guys will start deciding, if it comes down to who gets the airspace and when, we're going to get it and you guys will have to wait. I mean, that potentially could be the big problem here, right?
I think you've landed right on it. And in other countries where there are privatized systems, we have seen hold times, wait times, you know, while the airlines that ostensibly run the system conduct their operations. And that's troubling to us. You know, to your point, what we represent are about 11,000 entrepreneurs and companies, and they do all kinds of different things, but they got one thing in common. They need to have an airplane as part of doing business. business. And they're operating largely out of the small towns and rural areas in America. We've got 5,000 airports in the U.S., and only 10% of those are served by the airlines. So these small companies and mid-sized companies, they rely on these outlying airports to be able to access markets in the U.S. and all around the world. And if all of the resources begin shifting, say, toward the major hub airports that serve the airline's business interest, well, what's to come of the rest of the infrastructure and access to that infrastructure? It's a very troubling concern. And it's not just we who have it. 100 aviation groups have written Congress, actually more than 100. People on both sides of the political aisle in Congress have expressed this concern. Even probably America's most noteworthy aviation pilot, Sully Sullenberger, has said this is a real concern. He's called this giving the keys to the kingdom to the airlines if we pursue this setup.
So are you, real quickly here, is Congress listening? Are you guys having an impact?
I hope so. Certainly, we've got resources for people to contact Congress at atcnotforsale.com. So we need to keep making our voice heard.
All right, because that was going to be my next question: how they find out more about you guys. You want to give that one again?
You bet. Learn more and contact your lawmakers at atcnotforsale.com.
All right. Dan Hubbard, Senior VP with the National Business Aviation Association. Sometimes a little more complicated than we think. And maybe privatization isn't the best thing in all cases, as they oppose the air traffic control privatization idea. Dan, thanks so much. We appreciate you sharing.
Thanks once again for having me.